aerodynamic drag in pounds equals aerodynamic horsepower. You take the weight of the vehicle times 60 miles an hour on present tires that we have, radials, 13 pounds of rolling drag per 1,000 pounds of weight. And air drag horsepower plus RR horsepower. Then if you know the engine thermal efficiency, the formula is so simple. It tells you miles per gallon. Like on this chart, that's how I determined. I use an EPA formula, so I don't have to have any static with any from government agencies. As an example, you just take the formula reads 0.46 times miles per hour times engine thermal efficiency, let's say is 30%, divided by 12.3 horsepower equals miles per gallon. That's a masterpiece of simplicity. And they established the formula, I didn't. So if I use theirs, I use another formula, it's more complicated. It's British thermal units and all that. But they're so close, and what I like is that I prefer to use their formula because it's very accurate. And it's good enough for everybody to understand and all. Another classic example that sort of parallels what I'm just talking about is somebody asked Enzo Ferrari, a writer, I think, said, "No doubt, Mr. Ferrari, you must have the world's most sophisticated computers at your fingertips in designing your spectacular automobile." And what kind of computers do you use? So he asked the commendatory that. And Mr. Ferrari just sat there and thought for a minute. And he said, "I use the multiplication tables." I thought that was tremendous. Oh, was that great.
That's marvelous.
Oh, fabulous. And I used to use them too. God, I used to have to make a table before I got these computers. 375 was the number you used all the time. 375 times 8. 375 times 8.1. And all the paperwork is horrendous. Thank God for that handheld computer. But in design, he broke it down to the simplest. He knows what he's doing. And he's got the track record and has proved it. But these are very interesting incidents. Some of them occurred to me personally, and some I got through hearsay. But I like to catalog them because they give you trying to define the species of us crazy creative people.
It occurs to me very obviously that your career in aerodynamic styling is obviously quite a bit ahead of the current rather tentative steps that are being taken by the automobile industry. Why has it taken them so long to decide that aerodynamics is the way to go?
That's one of the big mysteries, because I thought I made it very plain in 1952 at the SAE that if you talk to an engineer, all he understands is weight reduction. We'll take 100 pounds off, we'll take 200 pounds, we'll take 500 pounds off. But weight reduction is nowhere offer you the tremendous returns that aerodynamics do. Let's say a good aerodynamic automobile is worth a typical automobile on the streets today that saves you 800 pounds. But if you could take the average car on the street and lower its air drag, you got an 800-pound cushion. They realize it and they admit it now. They're coming out with super low drag tires. For instance, like some of the Pirelli tires, we'll just take this weight, this 1,000 pound weight at 60 miles an hour at 13 pounds rolling resistance. Okay. The new Pirelli's low drag tires are down to 8 pounds instead of the 13.5 pounds. Now that's quite a big difference. And it goes up every 10 miles an hour. It goes up to the point where I have a book here, I won't bore you with it. I can show you that when you go to 90 PSI on Bonneville racing tires, that the vehicle is light enough, you can get by, you save so much horsepower. Air drag, of course, is the function of the square, but the horsepower required is a function of the cube. To double your speed from any speed, 10 to 20, 30 to 60, 60 to 120, 120 to 240. When you double any one of those combinations, it takes 8 times the horsepower. It's pretty negligible. Now, we do have vehicles. We've seen these vehicles that are showing 2,000 miles per gallon. And something I think is getting close to 3,000, I'm not sure. But those are relatively simple. Number one, they weigh 80 pounds. The average speed is only 10.5 miles an hour. And what they do, you drive them, you take them up to 15 miles an hour, you shut the key off, and you coast. And aerodynamic drag is so low at 10 miles an hour, still the function of the square and the horsepower requirements of the cube. And then you start the engine again and coast. And you do it with maybe half a cup of this fuel. You don't have to go far or many laps. And usually the drivers are women that only weigh 80, 85 pounds, and the vehicle weighs 80 pounds. You could never get it on the street. You couldn't drive it. You couldn't see out of it, frankly. And you're on bicycle tires that are covered with sheet aluminum to eliminate the drag of the bicycle spokes, even at slow speeds like that, at 15 miles an hour. Now, to push one of these things at these so-called 2,000-mile cars, push them up to even 40 miles an hour, oh, everything would deteriorate. You'd be down to 1,200 miles on a gallon. Put it at 55, 60, you might get down to 400 or 500 on a gallon. Whatever. It's amazing. But it shows, and it telegraphs to the public mind, gee, maybe you got to streamline things that sort of look like this, or take some of the basic shapes and do it. And I applaud such things.
Mr. Alex Tremulous, you are at 70 years, obviously still a visionary, still forward-looking in terms of styling. Do you? What do you see ahead in the next 10 years in terms of industrial design and industrial styling?
I hope industrial design scatters traditions to the wind. I'm talking of architecture, I'm talking of everything. I would like to see the architects, who we can call industrial designers also, take a real good look at the problem of guaranteeing that everyone should be able to afford a reasonable home. We should liquidate the slum areas. But at the same time, I look at houses that are being built under the same traditional codes that have been with us for well over 100 years. And yet I see highly creative architects who have the powers of imagination now starting to experiment with new ways of energy saving skyscrapers, as an example. Some work and some don't, but they're going through the teething period. But the automobile technology, as I remember it, my first exposure to what Briggs Body was capable of doing, and when I first went there, they didn't have room for me in the design room because they had 7 or 8 architects. And I looked at what they were doing. Oh, we're designing homes. Prefabricated homes are going to stamp on a steel. And I looked at some beautiful renderings. And out of every rendering showed a man coming out of the door. In fact, it looked like they stamped that guy coming out of the door with a lunch bucket and coveralls, going to work, leaving a two-bedroom house that was to sell for $2,200. A three-bedroom house was to sell for $3,200. Of course, these were 1937, 38 figures. A house that you could wash the walls and all. And it was all inspired by the fact that Briggs decided to stamp out the first big bathtub. When they got to the bathtub, they started looking and all that. And when I got there in time, John Jardis said, "Hey, you're looking." He says, "I'm glad you're here because tomorrow is the day of the Big Bang." And I says, "What's the Big Bang?" He says, "Wait till you see." Oh, he was a fascinating guy. He always had a cigarette in his mouth and spoke with that certain Belgium accent and burning holes in his most beautiful clothes and all that. And the Big Bang, which I witnessed, now that they had done this, they went on to bigger and better things. "We're gonna bang," "we're gonna bang up," they said, "a complete washroom with the wash basin, the commode, and the bathtub, including the floor. That's how we're going to do it. It's going to be bang, bang. And we got the heaviest presses, and we're the only ones that can do it." By God, they banged one out. It was unbelievable. It took 8 men to pull it out and carry it out. And this is it. They said, "Now that we've done this, the walls, oh, we can roll those. That's going to be nothing. We'll put the insulation in there and all, and we're going to put these things up in a matter of 48 hours. And the bottom structure, you don't have to build a foundation for it. We'll level it off with leveling jacks. I suppose they do that today. And this is one way of just thinking ahead." Now, they were thinking ahead like that years ago. Nobody's come up to anything like this. You know, I've always admired... who's our greatest? Taliesin, East, West.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah, Frank Lloyd Wright. Mm-hmm. I've always admired that man from the time I was a youngster. He committed one atrocity. He designed all these magnificent homes for the aristocracy. I've never seen any evidence of Frank Lloyd Wright ever designing or indicating with a sketch, let's say, I don't want to say a poor man's house, but a typical home with a lot of ingenuity and styling expertise, with flexibility of turning them around so they don't look like you're going in Philadelphia where all houses are thunk, 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 thunk. And I never saw any evidence, and he certainly must have had that creativeness to do it.
There was one, the Usonia House.
Which one? The
Usonia House.
Oh.
Which was an attempt to build a middle-income house.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't take off.
Yeah. Well, labor problems could have done it for one thing. In summing up my design philosophy, I think I should do it very simply. I think that the meek should inherit nothing, period, spelt with big capital letters. Forget the dot. That's about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Fine. My opening at the 1952 SAE conference was, those not imbued with enthusiasm will, as a rule, avoid major mistakes, but will miss major accomplishments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Alex Tremulous.